Good morning and welcome to FUBC's online service. This morning I'll be sharing, and I'm really glad to be able to do that. Thank you to the worship team for leading us this morning, and for Eric and Brad for putting the video online and doing the editing and formatting for that. Really appreciate it. I know I've really been missing being together with you, and definitely feels like I haven't seen some of you in a long time, but I'm just thankful that we are united by our hope in the Lord, and we're just thankful that we know that we have that in common, and let's just try to be creative in our ways of encouraging each other and challenging each other. There's other ways that we can communicate with each other. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you that we can look into your word this morning. We thank you that you are an eternal God, Lord. Thank you that you are in control, that you are almighty. Lord, we trust you. We confess that we often lose perspective, and we need your word to be our foundation, our footing. Lord, we pray that this morning that we would be encouraged by the things that we learn, and Lord, just pray that you'd give me the words to say. I just pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, I titled the message today, Why Follow Jesus? Well, throughout history, no one has been followed like Jesus has. 2,000 years after his death, he has 2 billion followers. I took that stat from Google, but according to Time magazine, he is the most influential person in history. Think about what you know about Christ. What do you love about Christ? What about his life draws you in? You know, thankfully we have the scripture recorded and preserved for us. The things we know about Jesus have been revealed to us throughout Scripture. There really isn't any other way to know Jesus except through His Word. Throughout Scripture, beginning in Genesis, we see pictures of who Jesus would be. The prophets told us that He would be what He would be like, and what He would come to do. We see Him as the King of Kings and as the humble servant. We see Him as the Lamb of God given to take away the sins of the world. In the New Testament, we have 4 gospel accounts of his life, each one giving us a different perspective. We have the advantage of seeing his life in retrospect, but now let's pretend we are living in Jesus' time and try to see what the disciples that walked with him saw. What drew people to follow and believe in him? Can we see what they saw? In John's gospel, we have an account from the perspective of one of his disciples. Let's look closely at some of the first chapters and see if we can learn some things and maybe see things from the perspective of the early followers of Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1, and I'll read verses 1 to 10. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So early in the book of John, we see John is laying out for us what Jesus' mission was. John recognized that Jesus was the light of the world. It says there in John 1, 9. We also know that he came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says that. He says he came to seek and to save the lost. The world was lost in darkness in Jesus' time. In fact, the world has been in darkness since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Last time I spoke, I was in John 3, and in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, in John 3, 19, let's turn there, John 3, 19, it speaks about this idea that men were living in darkness. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The imagery of light paints a picture that describes our lives without Christ, without a relationship with God. Without Christ, we are lost in this life. This has been the history of the world since the garden. We can't understand the purpose for our lives without Christ. We get caught up in things that only complicate our lives and cause us pain and shame. Imagine that even today, in the midst of 2020 and the circumstances that we're facing, imagine you were lost in darkness. Thankfully, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. He brings us into relationship with our Heavenly Father. By believing in Him, we become children of God. It says that in John 1:12 that we just read. Imagine hearing about Jesus in that time when the disciples were living. Imagine hearing about Jesus, or hearing Him teach, or even witnessing His deity, His power. Wouldn't you be drawn to someone who gave you hope? Jesus is still the light for the world, for the whole world. Nothing has changed since those days. So, early in John, we see that he chooses his disciples. Men that he would work with for 3 years, 3.5 years. You know, a simple invitation was given to them. Come and see, and to follow me. Let's read John 1, and we'll start in 35. Again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, throughout John, we see different little snapshots, little conversations with Jesus and his disciples, and we see that we can see a lot of different neat things with his relationship with these disciples. We see the different personalities and the egos at times, and we see that the men that he chose were different from different professions, and you know, we see their humanity. We see their weaknesses and their tendencies, and it's in stark contrast to Jesus, to who he was, being God. And yet, you know, we see Jesus' love for these men. He takes them along on what must have been an awesome adventure. And you know, I love this about Jesus. And he invited these 12 guys into his life. And it's not just for like a once a week meeting, but these guys were probably with him all the time. And, you know, they traveled together. And I'm sure that the tensions between the men there got frustrating at times. But, you know, some people might think that sounds like a lot of fun, but I'm sure to others it seems like it might be a bit stressful. Jesus mentored these men. He taught them about life, about who he was. He led by example. Now we're going to read kind of after where I left off after the last message. We're going to go to chapter 4, John chapter 4. And I'll give a little background. Jesus meets with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And when they got there, in chapter 4, I'll read, let me find where I want to go here. In verse 7, it says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." So Jesus is at the well, and the disciples had gone away to get food. Now imagine you're there, and you know, you're on this road trip, and Jesus is hungry, and well, the disciples are for sure hungry, and they head into town to go get some food, and they leave Jesus at the well here, and we're gonna fast forward over to verse 27, and we'll read that, and we'll read right to 38. And it says, "At this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors.' And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So let's imagine we are the disciples here, and we've gone into the town, we went to get food, and we return, and Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. You know, in those days, it wasn't normal to be speaking to a Samaritan woman if you were a Jewish man. You know, and the food is getting cold at this point. You know, I'm thinking they were expecting him to be excited to have a meal and to eat, and you know, meanwhile, these other people had come out and were wanting to talk to Jesus, and the disciples were, you know, they were thinking about how they would be hungry. They were hungry, and they thought Jesus would be starving. And you know, they're caught off guard, I imagine. You know, and he shares his passion for the lost with them. You know, we see that in verses 34 and 35, he's concerned about the harvest. He shifts the focus off the physical needs and onto the spiritual needs of those around him. Verse 34, let's read it. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You know, that verse takes us right back to John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his Son." You know, Jesus was doing the work that his Father had given him to do. I think the disciples must have been blown away by this. You know, I think we can sometimes be so focused on something like Jesus was here. You know, we can be focused on something that we forget to eat or we don't need to eat. But I wonder, you know, if they were amazed at how he spoke of his relationship with his Father and how he considered his Father's work to be his food. What an example. The abiding fellowship between the Father and Son. You know, we use the words abiding fellowship, but in our terms here, it would be that, you know, they were on the same page. They were on the same page. They weren't, had the same goal, the same mind. And Jesus wanted this for his disciples. Let's turn over to John 15 for a moment. Read a passage there. Verse 9, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know, this idea of the harvest isn't only mentioned here in this passage, but Matthew also picks up on this idea of the harvest that Jesus uses here. And let's go over to Matthew in chapter 9. Verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the peoples. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" You know, there we see Jesus' heart, you know, and we recognize and I saw that, you know, that it wasn't only his mission or his father's mission. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. This work was done in tandem with his father. So he stays there another 2 days with the disciples, and many Samaritans came to believe in him. You know, it seems that the disciples were taking part in leading people to Jesus, at least as far as I can tell. He is in verses 35 and 36. Or 38 there, it says, "I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." You know, he's encouraging them to focus on the spiritual needs of these people and to help them to lead them to the Lord. You know, the way we see Jesus encourages them, the way Jesus encourages them to see that the harvest was plentiful. You know, it was part of his mission. You know, he was the light of the world, and he was reaching into this place in Samaria where, you know, the Jews wouldn't associate with them, and yet he's leading his disciples in this and helping them to see that this light isn't only for the Jews, but it's for everyone. From this passage, we see Jesus loved the people of Samaria. We see Jesus was more concerned for people than for his own physical needs. He was loving towards people that were seen as being unworthy. The longer the disciples were with Jesus, the clearer his purpose became, and the more his perfect character was revealed. The disciples hadn't been following Jesus for very long at this point, but they were able to tell others about him because they believed in him. So why did the disciples stick with Jesus? John tells us that he was the light of the world. We see, and they saw, that he had divine power. He calmed the storm, he healed the sick, cleared the temple. We know that he loved his father and the world. We know that he had compassion on the sick, on those that were considered unworthy, all people, Samaritans and the Gentiles and the Jews. You know, he wanted even the religious leaders to come to believe in him, taking time to teach Nicodemus. You know, maybe a better question than why did the disciples stick with Jesus, like Peter says in John 6, verse 68 and 69. Let's turn there. "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" After seeing all that they had seen, witnessing Jesus' power, his compassion, his love for people, his love for them, and coming to believe that he was the Son of God who would take away the sins of the world, Peter realizes that he had nowhere to go other than to stay with the Lord. People throughout the last 2,000 years have come to hear about the Lord Jesus and follow because his word has been preserved by his Spirit. His word is working in the hearts of people just like it worked in the hearts of the disciples. John was a friend of the Lord Jesus. He walked with the Lord. He learned from him. He knew his mission. He knew his heart. In 1 John, let's turn there, John shares with us the things that he learned and the purpose for which he wanted to pass them on. 1 John in chapter 1, start in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John recorded these things being a disciple of Jesus and having a relationship, being Jesus' friend. And he wanted us to be able to see that, to see a glimpse of who Jesus was, to understand that he was the Son of God, and that he offered eternal life just by believing in him. So what draws you to the Lord? What has encouraged you about this passage? You know, the things that we've read, the relationship that he built with those disciples, that he mentored them, taught them, loved them, that he reached out to people that were unworthy in the eyes of the Jews, that he saw people that were lost and wanted to bring them in. You know, throughout John, we see many times where he healed the sick and had compassion on people. Was it that he had a relationship with his Father and that he wanted us to also have that relationship too? Let's try to take what we've learned here this morning and the idea that we can walk with the Lord and we can learn from him. And let's remember that we also have a mission to be the light of the world. Matthew 5. Let's turn there for a second. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So, you know, John recognized that Jesus was the light of the world, and Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world as his disciples. Matthew 28, Jesus commissions the disciples. It says in verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the things that Jesus taught to his disciples firsthand, he passed on. And you know, what does a disciple mean? Being a disciple is a follower. And when you follow someone, you do what they do. Jesus was teaching them to do that. Jesus' mission was for the whole world. And our mission is also to carry on the work that was started by those disciples, those 12, and be a light in the world. so that people can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, to have eternal life. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank You that we can be encouraged by Your word, Lord. We thank You that You lived here on the earth as a man, and You experienced life with the 12 disciples. You loved them and You cared for them, Lord. More importantly, You taught them to be the light of the world, and Lord, they've gone and taught other generations to share that news, to share that light, to reach out to people that are lost. Lord, we just pray that we would live our lives as an example, as Jesus did, and as the disciples did, Lord. We would draw people to You, Lord. We would not be focused on our physical needs, but we would be focused on the harvest. And Lord, that we would see that as being our food, the thing that gives us joy. And Lord, that we would look forward to living with You in eternity, Lord, with those that come to know You and believe in You. Lord, just pray that in this coming week, as we meet with people that we work with, and as we deal with the different circumstances, Lord, that You would be our strength, and You would be our joy, and that we would be a light. Lord, just pray these things in Your name. Amen. Well, hope you have a good week, and just thank you for tuning in, and we'll hopefully see you soon.